Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 35 to 53. Please follow along in your Bibles at home. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 35. The resurrection body. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendour. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you're looking forward to life beyond death. Some of us may say, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. But there are probably quite a few of us who would say, look, if I'm being honest, not really. After all, life beyond this life, we imagine, is going to be life without a body. And that means, well, actually, it's quite similar to lockdown. Because it'll mean you can't go out for meals, can't go to the cinema, can't go to the theatre, can't enjoy meeting up with friends for a cup of coffee, a whole load of things that you can't do, which we can't do now, and yet you also just won't have a body. And to have that for all eternity? Well, we've already found that after a few months of lockdown, we're getting a bit fed up of it, even though things are starting to ease up. So an eternity of it sounds a bit rubbish, doesn't it? Which just shows that we've not really grasped what the Bible says about what we're looking forward to. In the passage that Joan has just read for us, it tells us that actually we're looking forward to far better bodies. Paul starts at the beginning of the passage by asking a couple of questions. He says, verse 35, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Now, those are really good questions, aren't they? How will the dead be raised? That's actually really kind of asking, really? How will they be raised? I mean, is it going to happen? And then he says, with what kind of body? You see, he's saying the resurrection means we're going to have bodies in the future. And then he gives a couple of illustrations to show what he means. And the first thing he uses is seeds and plants. So he says, verse 36, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. So Paul's saying that we're a bit like seeds. So in our household, there's been some seed sowing going on. I've not been doing it, but others in my family have been growing some herbs. And so they've been growing coriander. What, that's one of them. They've been growing some other things. And of course, what do you do when you buy some seeds? Well, you get the seeds and you take the seeds, and they're tiny, teeny, tiny seeds like that. And you take those seeds and you put them in the soil. And after a bit, with a bit of watering and a bit of sunshine, you end up with this. You end up with a plant. And Paul is saying, well, that's going to be like us with our bodies. That our bodies are like the seed, but our resurrection bodies are like the plant. In other words, they're going to be far better. They're going to be transformed bodies. Now, that's not the only illustration Paul uses. He also uses an illustration to do with different kinds of flesh. So verse 39, he says, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. Well, now that's kind of obvious, isn't it? We don't have the same kind of flesh that fish do or that other animals do. And he says, verse 40, there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. In other words, he's saying, look, there are a whole load of different kinds of bodies, and there are different kinds of splendor. So the sun is more dazzling than the moon, and some stars are more dazzling than other stars. Some are quite faint and some are quite bright. And so he's saying our future bodies will actually have a different kind of splendor. They'll be of a different kind. But how will they be better? And this is where Paul then in verses 42 and 43 explains how our bodies will be better. And he begins verse 42 by saying, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Now that does sound a lot better, doesn't it? An imperishable body. Because we're really aware, particularly at the moment, that our bodies are perishable. Sadly, all those people that we hear of in the news who've died from coronavirus, but also in our own church family, over recent weeks and months, there have been those we know and love who've died, and we know there are those who are seriously ill as well. And of course, we all need to come to terms with the fact that the ultimate statistic is that we will all die. One out of one people dies. But these bodies, these resurrection bodies, will be imperishable. They will last forever. And second, Paul says, verse 43, it is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It'll be raised in glory. It'll be a glorious body. Now, to say it's sown in dishonour, that doesn't mean that our current bodies are shameful or anything like that. It just means in comparison to what they will be like, they're sown in dishonour, but they'll be raised in glory. Paul talks about this elsewhere in Philippians as well. He says that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. What will that be like? What will it be like to have a glorious body? Well, I don't think we fully know what that'll be like for that transformation to happen to us. C.S. Lewis said this, which I quite like. He said, the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. Well, maybe that's trying to capture some of that what we will be like, the glory of what we will be like. Paul then says, it will be sown in weakness, but raised in power. Well, again, we're really aware, aren't we, that our bodies are weak, that they decay, that they age. I even read recently that in your 20s, your skin and lungs and brain start to show signs of aging. Well, that's not very encouraging, is it? And for many in our church family, maybe you're particularly aware of the weaknesses of your body. That aging just means you can't do what you used to be able to do. For some of us, we've got life-limiting illnesses. We can't do what we used to do when we were fitter and healthier. We're aware that this body is weak. But the resurrection body will be so much better. It will be raised in power. There won't be that aging, and there won't be disabilities, and there won't be things that just go wrong with our bodies. It'll be raised in power. And that's not the only thing. Last thing that he says, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now, Paul has used this language earlier in the letter. He's actually said that non-Christians are natural and those who've become Christians are spiritual. And so what he's saying here is that your body needs to catch up with you. If you're a Christian, you're already spiritual, but your body is still natural. And therefore, it needs to kind of catch up with you. Your body needs to be so natural, but raised spiritual. Now, a spiritual body, that sounds like a contradiction in terms. That sounds like spiritual is going to be non-bodily. But a spiritual body obviously has a body. You know, Paul isn't saying it's not going to be physical. He's going to say, actually, it's going to be this transformed body, which you could call a spiritual body. Now, just think about that. Put together all those things that Paul is saying about that future body. He's saying it's going to be imperishable. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be powerful. And it's going to be spiritual. Now, that is a far better body, isn't it? And so what do we say to people now? What about you if your bodies now are feeling weak and are perishing? What about for you if maybe you've had a disability, maybe all your life? Or what about if you're just aware of aging and the difficulties of aging? Or you've got an illness which means that you're really suffering. What do we say? What do we pray for people in your position? Do we pray for healing? Yes, absolutely. We should pray that the Lord would heal you. And it's wonderful when he does, when either through medical means or through miraculous means, he heals someone. It is wonderful when he does. But of course, that's not our ultimate hope. We've got to remember that these bodies are perishable. They are weak. And therefore, we will die. We will get illnesses. But our ultimate hope is for resurrection bodies, far better bodies, that won't suffer in this kind of way. That's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to those who at the moment aren't able to walk, to be able to walk and dance and do what they want to do, to have glorious bodies which won't get ill, which won't suffer. That's what we're looking forward to the resurrection. Now, you might think this all sounds a bit fantastic, bit far-fetched maybe even. Are there any examples of these kind of bodies? And wonderfully, there is an example of this kind of body. And that's the body of the Lord Jesus. And that's the logic of verses 45 to 49. That Paul is saying our future resurrection bodies are modelled on Jesus's resurrection body. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details of verses 45 to 49, but just see where he ends. Verse 49, he says, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." The earthly man, that's Adam, first person that God created. That's why our current bodies, which are modelled on his body, are perishable and weak. That's why we die. But our future resurrection bodies are based on Jesus's resurrection body. He's the man from heaven. And so if you want a preview of what your future resurrection body is like, you can look back at the resurrection accounts. See what Jesus's resurrection body was like. And so you could look back at the ends of the Gospels and see those accounts. If you've ever bought something online, you've probably looked at photos of it and maybe even videos of it. And even after you've bought it and before it's arrived, maybe you've gone back. I know I've done this. You go back and you look at some of those photos to see what you're going to be getting. You can do that with your resurrection body by looking at the resurrection accounts to see what Jesus's resurrection body was like. And what was his body like? Well, he could do things. He could eat with people. He could walk with people. At one point, he wanted to prove to people that he wasn't a ghost. So in Luke 24, he says to them, "Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." He's saying, look, I'm physical. I've got a physical body. Now, you may have spotted in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, it says, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Now, is that a contradiction? No, it's not. I think all that Paul's saying there, when he talks about flesh and blood, it's a kind of way of saying your perishable body. He's not saying your future body won't be physical. He's just saying it won't perish. But Jesus's body did have flesh and bones. And like I say, he could eat with people and walk with people and hug people. I mean, in the resurrection account, Mary holds on to Jesus. So your future resurrection body will be huggable. You may not feel very huggable right now, but your future resurrection body will be huggable. Now, Jesus's resurrection body could do other things as well. So there were points where the disciples were in a locked room and Jesus appears amongst them. Will our resurrection bodies be able to do that? Well, maybe. Maybe we're getting to the edge of what we can know about what our future resurrection bodies will be like. Maybe you'll be able to do that. But they will certainly be imperishable. They'll be powerful. And therefore, maybe you'll be able to do that. Now, is this mainstream Christianity you're being taught here? Yes, it really is. Notice when the apostles in the book of Acts were going around preaching, what were they getting into trouble for preaching about? Well, in Acts chapter 4, it tells us that Peter and the apostles were getting into trouble with the officials at the temple. And it says in verse 2, "They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." In other words, they were going around proclaiming that because Jesus rose from the dead, you can have resurrection bodies too. And therefore, if you're not yet a Christian, you do need to come to Jesus to have this resurrection body, because it's based on his resurrection body. And therefore, as we've sort of said every week, really, if you're not yet a Christian, will you come to Jesus and put your trust in him? Because if you do, his death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. And he can give you a resurrection body for eternity. So will you come to him? You see, the future hope that we have is of a far better body. When will we get it? Well, back to 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us, doesn't it? It says, verse 51, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." In other words, it'll be in the future, when Jesus returns at the resurrection, which does mean there'll be a period between when we die and when Jesus returns, when we won't have a resurrection body. But don't worry, it won't be a kind of lockdown existence. Don't forget Jesus, when he was on the cross, when he spoke to one of the criminals next to him who became a Christian, he said to that criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not in lockdown, but in paradise. It will be glorious, it'll be wonderful, but that's not what we're looking forward to. What we're really looking forward to is the resurrection, to resurrection bodies. And if we get this in our heads, it changes the way we think and the way that we live day by day. Because if we're thinking, I'm not really looking forward to the resurrection, then we'll live our lives looking backwards, thinking about what we used to be able to do, what our bodies used to be able to do. And we'll think, oh, if only I had that kind of body again. Or maybe you look back over this life and you think, I've never really liked my body at all. There's great news. What we're looking forward to is going to be far better than what we've had in this life. Our future resurrection bodies will be far better than any body that we've had in this life or any body that there is in this world at the moment. The future resurrection body is going to be glorious. And so look forward to it. Live your life not looking backwards, but looking forward to the glory that awaits.